The Agadah in Brachos on Daf Ches Amud Aleph, about a third to midway down the page, and we're going to start darshaning a pasuk which in Mishlei is trying to figure out. There are different pshatim in this pasuk in Mishlei. Amar Rab Chanina li es mitzo zu isha. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. We're going to use a pasuk in Mishlei, I should say, to shed a light on this pasuk in Tehillim. The pasuk says, "Al zos yispalel kol chosid elecha liyes mitzo." And the Torah is telling us here that it's a good idea, it's very highly recommended to pray. Anyone who's pious should pray liyes mitzo. And this is going to define, in a sense, what we should be davening for. And we have to ask ourselves the question, what is Lies Mitzo? And later on, we're going to have to come back and ask the question why these important dimensions of tefillah, things that we should certainly be supplicating Hashem for, are related to a chassid. Why dafka a chassid? Amar Rab Chanina, now we have our first interpretation. Li es mitzo zo isha. A person who's a chassid should be mispalel for a wife, a good wife to find. And that's always something that's very, very important. Perhaps the most important decision we'll ever make in our lives is who to marry. That's going to impact on every dimension of our life. And therefore, we have to ask Hashem to guide us and help us find a good wife. Shenemar matza isha matza tov. The same word mitzo, mem tzadi aleph, appears in the pasuk in Mishlei. The pasuk in Mishlei therefore sheds a light on the pasuk in Tehillim when it says al zos yispal kol chosid elecha li es mitzo is matza isha matza tov. He's being mispal for a good woman. And he quotes the Sefer HaChassidim, who says that a person should ask Hashem, sheyazmin lo, that he should designate for him and help him find an isha tova. And a good woman has the power, lafoch adam ra letov. On the one hand, if she's good, she has the ability to take a person who is evil and convert him, transform him to a good person, ula chassid gomor, and to an absolute chassid. And now we want to understand what this pasuk in Mishlei means, matza isha matza tov. The Gemara quotes Marava, which means Eretz Yisrael. It's called Eretz Yisrael because relative to Bavel, it's on the west. Of course, relative to most of the world, it's on the east, but it's on the west of Bavel, and therefore it's called Marava. Kinasiv Inish Issa, shortly after a man marries a woman, Amrile, we say to him, we turn to him with a question. Matza o motze? Was it a matza situation in your case, or was it a motze? And matza means matza isha matza tov. And the end of the pasuk is v'yofek rotzon me'ashem. If, on the other hand, she was not a good woman, the opposite is motze. As Shlomo Melch says, in this case in Koheles, u'motze ani mar mi moves es ha'isha. The whole Gemara here is a pella. We understand that a person should pray for what is the most important thing in his life, to find a good woman. And a person has to, v'yofek ratzon Hashem, has to have ritzui in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should respond in an affirmative way to his prayers and set up a situation where he can find, the prayerful chassid can find a good woman. But the question that the Marava, that the Bnei Eretz Yisrael used to ask a person after he got married, that's a pelotos. In fact, the Chafetz Chaim in Hilchos Lashon Hara asks the question on this Gemara, what's the heter? It should be completely forbidden to ask such a question because you're asking for trouble. It could be that the person will respond in motzeh, which means in a negative way, and he's basically speaking lashon hara about his wife. So why would you ask a question that's almost the setup for lashon hara? Okay, the Chafetz Chaim says, based on the Rambam Hilchos Deos, that if something is public knowledge, even if it was publicized in front of only three people, someone who speaks about it later does not violate lashon hara, as long as he's not interested in passing on a bad, you know, a bad word to slander someone. He's not trying to reveal and, shall I say, circulate beyond these three people the bad reputation, you know, to increase the bad reputation, intensify it. But nevertheless, despite it all, even if there's no technical violation here of Lifnei Iver or of Lashon Hara here, nevertheless, the question still is outstanding. Why would the Bnei Eretz Yisrael recorded here in the Talmud for all posterity, why would they do such a thing? What's their purpose? And so far, the only thing I have to share with you is the Ein Yaakov, the name of the Riaf, and he writes, and apparently the Nesivos also came up with this idea, that the Bnei Eretz Yisrael were not asking whether this woman is a good woman or the opposite. I mean, after all, he just got married to her. It's hard to assume that he would know immediately after his wedding exactly how to classify her, although sometimes you can tell pretty early in the marriage. But bottom line is, what's the purpose? What's their objective? Are they trying to incur anguish, you know, to increase his anguish when he realizes that and publicize that she's a bad woman? But rather, to quote the Riaf, Kavanosim Aisali Orer Esachosin Binyani Musar, that their goal was to tell them ultimately that you, the Chassan, you're in charge, you are going to bring about one result or another, if you'll treat your wife properly, and if you will arrange your household in such a way that it'll be based on the laws of the Torah, if everything that you do will be l'shem shamayim, then they're telling him it'll be matzah isha matzah tov yofek ritzon Hashem. But if, on the other hand, your kavan is not l'shem shamayim, and your relationship with your wife is more or less one of what we call milui tava, that you're interested in physical pleasures, and that's the focus, that's the priority, then it'll be umotza ani es marmi moves es aisha. And it means that this is really a musar shmuz that the Bnei Eretz Yisrael gave a person early in his marriage. Be careful about the way that you go about your life. And it's interesting because the Gemara here, Bnei Marava, it says Amri Le. Now the words Amri Le, that phrase, is not indicative of a question, but rather Amri Le, they're telling him something, they're notifying something. They're giving him, if you will, a musar shmuz. So it's not just, as the Chafetz Chaim points out, that we have no problem here with lashon hara. We can circumvent the issur lashon hara on that technicality that we mentioned before. It's public knowledge, but it's much more profound. What we're ultimately telling him, and again, this is written between the lines, is that the ball is in your hands. You have the control, and whether or not it's going to be matzah or motzah is really up to you. Make a decision, commit yourself to that decision, create a bias where the Shechina Shorah of a bias, where everything is done l'shem shamayim, to bring out the glory of Hashem. If that hashkafa will reverberate through your house and through all your actions, and especially the way you treat your wife, then it's going to be matzah isha Matzah Tov. There's a very interesting insight of the Achronim here regard to why this minhag appears to be an exclusive Eretz Yisrael dikah minhag, and we don't find it in Bavel. And this is based on the famous Sugya Kiddushin Chavtesam and Beis of Halon v'Halahu, that there was a difference between Eretz Yisrael, as Rabbeinu Tam interprets it, and Chutz Laretz. In Eretz Yisrael, the minhag was that first you married a wife, and then you studied Torah. So in a sense, you were young, you were fresh, you were raw, you hadn't really dedicated yourself to Torah study, and now you're building a family with a wife. That's a very, you know, vulnerable situation. And therefore we have to give you this musa shmuz, this chizuk, the, you know, be stark and make sure that everything you do, all your kavanas are l'shem shamayim. But in Bavel, for example, the minhag was that first they packed it in learning. They would dedicate themselves for years and years of learning before they got married. And then we have a philosophical premise that the Torah itself protects a person, that he shouldn't fall prey to want to marry a woman for the wrong reasons and end up with a woman, an Isha Sheina Hogenes. And therefore, Bavel were pretty much guaranteed that the Bnei Torah in Bavel would find the right wife, they would choose the right wife. There was no need to even ask him the question of Matzah or Motzah. So all this is Rabbi Chanina. Now the Gemara goes on and presents another interpretation of the Pasuk in Tehillim that we started with, Lies Mitzoh, Amar Rav Nosson, Lies Mitzoh Zu Torah. It means that a person should pray, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should reveal to him the secrets of the Torah. When he needs a halacha, psuka, he has to decide how to live his life, how to respond to a certain question that came up, or comes up. Ask Hashem to help you, that you should find Torah accessible, that you'll be able to know the answers to your questions. And how do we know that Leis Mitzoh in the Pasuk in Tehillim that we're dealing with is a reference to Torah? Shenemar Pasuk in Mishlei, Ki Motzi Matzah Chaim. Motzi means that the Torah itself declares that if you find me, or in this case her, the Torah in feminine, then Matzah Chaim, you found life itself. And we want to point out here that the Torah is called a Mitziah, called Motzi. You find the Torah. And you pray for the Torah as Leis Mitzoh, finding the Torah. And the Gemara tells us that when the fetus is in its mother's womb, it's taught the entire Torah. When it comes out, the malach hits it and it forgets all its Torah. The Torah is a mitzvah in the sense that through the igia, through the work, the hard work and toil, a person regains the Torah knowledge that he has lost. It's really a mitzvah. And a person should be spalel that he should find the Torah, he should find all the Torah. The Torah should protect him and save him from temptations, Barasi Torah Tavlin, and protect him from those who would do evil to him. The Pasuk in Tehillim that we're dealing with here in Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Vav, Kol Chasidei Lecha Lies Mitzoh, says Rak L'Shatef Mayim Rabim Elav Lo Yagiu Shamayim Arabim Em Umos Olam. The Mayim Rabim that are coming to inundate him and sweep him away are representative of the nations of the world that try as hard as they can to nullify the Ava, to break up the relationship between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, Mayim Rabim Lo Yuchlu L'Chavos HaSa'ava, these nations will not succeed in putting out the fire of Ava between Knesset Yisrael and the Dod and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, a chassid should be mispalel that he should find the Torah, and the Torah will protect him and save him from the Umos HaOlam, who are trying to undermine the Ava relationship that he has with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Torah protects the Jew on an individual level, and likewise, it is the ammunition to protect the Jewish people on a national level against the dastardly schemes and the desires of the Umos HaOlam to break up that relationship, that marriage, Ava, intimacy between the Kala, Knesset Yisrael, and the Dod, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So pray for Torah. I would suggest that we pray to learn Torah on the deepest level, the most profound level. Hashem should give us the ability to work hard and discover and reveal the secrets of the Torah. And I don't mean necessarily the secrets of the Torah as far as Kabbalah is concerned, that too. We're not talking about Nistar, but even within Nigla, the Torah can be understood on so many different levels. Please allow us to focus our intellectual and physical energies on revealing the deeper layers of Torah. And of course, you might laugh at me and say that, that's brisk, right? Yeah, okay, maybe. Maybe it's brisk on one level, but there are so many different approaches and methodologies to the study of Torah. And the goal of all of them is to reveal the deeper level, not to misunderstand Torah. When we learn Torah superficially, there's always the danger that we'll take the words of Torah and twist them around, distort them. We don't understand them properly. We have to dedicate ourselves to a deeper understanding and a grasp of Torah. And here I want to add a point that's made on this pasuk by some of the mefarshim. We're talking about Matzah Chaim. Chaim, ki heim chayenu, is a reference to Torah. Chaim means that the Torah is the oxygen that we breathe. It gives us life. So now, just to summarize, we have Rav Chanina, that Lies Mitzo is a supplication for a good woman. We have Rav Nasa, that Lies Mitzo is a deep felt request for Torah. And now we have Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Omar, Lies Mitzo Zomisa. There are so many different ways, as the Gemara points out, that a person can die. The most lofty way of dying is called Misas Neshik, as we'll soon see. And therefore, a person should ask from Hashem in his prayers that he should die of Misa Yofa, of Misa Nocha. And how do we know that Leis Mitzo is a reference to Misa? Shenemar on the Pasuk in Tilim, Lamoves Totsaos. And the Gemara now is going to make a big deal about the word Totsaos. Now, it's very strange, in a sense, that we're talking about praying for death. I was brought up, for example, in the Hashkafa, that we don't think about death, that we should not be preoccupied with death. But what shall we say? Sometimes, even without our choice, these thoughts and these feelings overwhelm us. Man, insofar as he's mortal, but yet he has an intellect, he's aware of the fact that his death is imminent. His death is not a question, and therefore a person should be mispal regarding his death. And the death of a tzaddik, for the tzaddik itself, himself, not for us who are left behind, is a simcha. Because the nefesh of a tzaddik is really connected, a chelek aloka mimal, connected to the olam ha'elyon. And while the tzaddik's nefesh is in the guf, it's in a sense trapped in the guf, the nefesh can't be in its natural and desired state of dveikus with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The guf presents a blockage, and there's no perfect dveikus there. Therefore, some say that and you'll see in the Baal HaTanya, I believe, that the ner Hashem nishmas Adam means that the neshama is compared to the shalhevis of a ner that's constantly jumping forward, if you have a look at a candle, trying to get back to its source, to its connection to the olamas elyonim, the higher worlds of neshamas. So in a certain sense, death is a simcha, tov modzu amisa. When the goof is separated from the neshama, or shall we say the other way around, the neshama is detached from the guf, then by virtue of all the mitzvos that the tzaddik dedicated himself to during his lifetime, his nefesh will be able, as it leaves the guf, to reconnect on high with Eloka Mimal. The neshama in this world is considered, in a sense, lost, and misa, in a sense, means that the neshama finds herself. And that means it gets back to Dveikus with Kaviyochel. However, I do want to point out at this point that although there is an element of Simcha in death for a tzaddik, Nevertheless, as the famous story of the Gaon and the Rav, Zichron Levrach, used to emphasize this a lot, it's very central in his halachic man, Ish Halacha. Our view towards death is that death is not a great thing. We're not looking forward to death. We want to stay in this world. In this world, every moment presents itself the opportunity. The Gaon is holding on to his tzitzis, or some say he's holding on to his dalet minim. And he realizes that in the next world, we don't have that opportunity to do mitzvos. That's something that's unique to this world, that we want to live in this life here. Now the Gemara introduces a gematria. This is not a common Gemara, but from time to time, the Gemara uses gematria. And in the list of 32 midos Shatorin Dreshvem, this one is number 29. It's the Brisa of Rabbi Lezer, the son of Rabbi Yossi Aglili. So number 29 on that list of 32 of the Midos HaTorah Nidreshes Bahem is Gematria, in which the Aleph is worth 1, the Beis is worth 2, etc., etc. There are many different forms of Gematria. One is called Adbash. And if you take a look at Rashi in Sukkah, Daf Chof Chesam and Aleph, Divrei Maaseh Gematrios, you'll see some very interesting insights of Rashi into the concept of gematria. Here, the Gemara is calculating the numerical equivalent of the word totsos, because it says here at the end of this pasuk, li'es mitso, it says lamoves totsos, and the Gemara says tanyinami hachi chameos ushlosha mine misa nivru biolam. There are 930 categories of death in this world, and the proof is shenemar lamoves totsos, totsos bigematria hachi havi. The numerical value of the word totsos is 930. We can go through this very quickly. The tuf is 400, the vav is 6, the tzadi is 90, the aleph is 1. The Vav is 6, and the Tuf is 400. So if you add up the Tuf at the very beginning of this word, Totsaos, and the Tuf at the end, you already got 800 right there. The Tzadi is 90, so you're already up to 890. Add to that 6 plus 1, which is 7, and 6 is 13. 13 added to 890 is 903. So this Brisa tells us, I said it was 930, I think. I made a mistake. 903 different categories of Misa, Lamoves, Totsos. And the Gemara now is going to tell us which is the worst of all of the 903 and which is the most comfortable of the 903. Kasha Shebekulon Askara. Askara is a kind of disease inside the body that affects usually the throat of a person. And it's a most painful kind of disease. It's almost like choking to death. And Askara comes from the Pasuk in Tehillim, Yiskar Pi Dover Sheker. It's like the throat is completely closed up. In fact, the Gemara tells us in Yevamos that the 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva died from Askara, a very, very painful disease and a way of dying. Now, the Gemara says that Nicha Shebekulon, on the other end of the other polar extreme, the most comfortable of all misos, if you got to go, is Neshika. Askara, the Gemara says, Damya, the Gemara gives various similes to understand the painful nature of Askara. It's similar to Chizra, Begavava, Diamra, Delachore, Nashra. If you take a look at Rashi, you're talking about Anfei Hakotzim. Imagine if you have wool right? Raw wool. And you have the thorns that come out of these branches that get all caught up in the wool and try to pull and separate the wool from these kotzim, from these thorns, with a tremendous pull. And you can imagine that this is a whole to do. You know, the connection between the thorns and the wool is a very tight one, and you simply slowly rip apart the wool when you attempt to separate these thorns from the wool. And what does this mean in terms of the death of Askara? Of course, it's a painful death. But more than that, if you take a look at the Emes LeYaakov of Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, and you'll also see this based on the Rashi here, Kechizra, it would seem that Ein HaNeshama Nitekes LeGamri MiChomer BeGuf BeMisas Askara. Whenever you try to remove these thorns from the wool, you always leave over a little of the wool gets stuck and cannot be separated. And that symbolically represents that the neshama is so connected with the guf that the neshama cannot really separate itself completely from the guf. And that's the nature of Mises Askara. It's, to some extent, the neshama is partially connected to the guf. How do you actually remove that part of the guf that's connected to the neshama? That's going to happen in the next, after death, that's already Gehenna, that's already a process of Tziruf and Nikui. You know, the fires of Gehenna are going to somehow purge that leftover guf that's attached to the neshama. And once again, that's going to be like ripping apart, ripping the thorns and separating from the tzemer. So this is not something that you want to dance about. This is not something that's very exciting. Ika diamri, another kind of simile or metaphor to explain the terrible nature of the death of Askara. Kipiture b'fi veshet. It's like thick rope that is pushed into a nekev, into a hole. It's very tight rope. And the rope is squeezed into this round hole. And in this case, the veshet, which is the windpipe, is like this opening, and when you try to remove the chevel from this opening, it's going to be a really tough business. It's hard to remove it, and that symbolizes how difficult it is to remove the neshama from the guf at the point of Misas Askara. It's a long process. The difference between the second pshat and the first pshat is, in the first pshat, there's still something left. You know, when the neshama finally frees itself from the guf, it takes with it part of the guf. Here, the neshama eventually will be able to separate itself from the guf, but it's not going to be an easy process. On the other hand, neshika, says the Gemara, damya kimishchal bilisa mechalava. It's like to remove hairs from a cup of milk. All you do is just simply remove the hair from the milk. It's easy to remove the neshama from the guf in the case of Misas Neshika. Many Rishonim will die the Misa of Askara, and the reason for that is because Nimshachim Achar Taivas Libam, their lives, their behavior is totally controlled by the passions of their heart. And Nidbakim Kochas HaGuf B'Nefesh, the connection between the guf and the nefesh is so powerful that it's almost impossible to separate the two. Tzaddikim, on the other hand, Mises Neshika, because even during their lifetime, they have been able to subjugate to destroy their physical desires, and therefore the connection between the guf and the neshama is a light one, it's an easy one to separate, and therefore you remove the neshama from the guf like you remove a hair from a cup of milk. So let's just summarize now. We have three different interpretations of the pasuk. Al zos yispal kol chasidei lecheleis mitzo. One is Reb Chanina. You ask Hashem to help you find a good woman. Reb Nosson says, you ask Hashem for Torah. And Reb Nachman Bar Yitzchak, ask Hashem for a good, comfortable misa. And Reb Yochanan says, li eis mitzo zo kvur. We're talking about burial. Not everyone, unfortunately, not everyone gets to be buried. And although there is a mitzvah d'oraisa to bury the dead, as the Gemara establishes in Sanhedrin, nevertheless, a person has to daven that he will be buried. In Tanakh, for example, we find in Malachim Aleph, Perek Chaf Aleph, that the house of Achav were not zochen kvura. They just didn't deserve it. So we have to ask Hashem that he would grant us the kvura, that our remains be buried. Amar Rav Chanina Maikra, where does Rabbi Yochanan see this? In a pasuk that Leis Mitzo is a reference to kvura, and he quotes a pasuk in Eov to answer this question. Hasmechim Eli Gil Yosisu Bi Yosisu Kiyimtsu Kover. That people who are perfect in their spirituality, they are happy. And why? Because when the time comes, Yimtsu Miloshan again, Mem Tzadi Aleph, Kever, a burial place. Omar Rabba Bar Shilo, Hainu Diamri Inshi, Livai, or Live Inish, Rachme, a person should ask for divine compassion, Afilu Ad Zibula Bas Raisa Shlama, that he should have peace while he's alive, and even after he dies at the point of Kfura. So that the very last particles of dust will be thrown onto his kever. So that's the fourth interpretation of Leis Mitzo. And finally, the fifth and the last, Mar Zutra Amal Leis Mitzo Zeh Beis HaKisei, that a person has to pray, and this is more appropriate to their times than to our times, that he have a Beis HaKisei, a place where he takes care of his bodily needs, Samach LeBeiso, it should be close to his house. And why do you need a tefillah for that? In the case of Bavel, the ground was very moist from the rains, and as a result, it was very difficult to dig ditches and create a Beis HaKisei. They had to go pretty far out into the fields in order to be mitpane, in order to take care of their bodily needs. And in so doing, Rashi explains, they went far away from their city. And if a person is zocha, he has a Beis HaKisei that's close to his house. Before he eats, he can make sure that he doesn't have to go to the bathroom. Before he davens, etc., he can take care of his bodily needs, bekalus, with great ease, because he has a Beis HaKisei right near his house. And the Gemara says, Amri b'marav and Eretzol, they say, Hodem arzutra adifa mikulu. Marzutra's prayer is more important, it's more significant than all the other prayers that are mentioned here, the four that came before Marzutra. The most important thing that a person can have in order to avoid all sorts of diseases, illnesses, is that he should have a Beis HaKisei that's accessible, that he should never have to hold himself back when he has to go to the bathroom. That's the most important tefillah of them all. And interesting is that the Gemara doesn't quote any pasuk, as it did in the four previous opinions, to prove that Beis HaKisei is alluded to in this pasuk of Leis Mitzo. How do we understand that? I guess the Gemara understood that the word Mitzo in the pasuk is Miloshen Yitziah. Yitziah means to have to go. When you have to go, that's called a Yitziah. Even in modern Hebrew today, we use that term. Now, we have here five opinions about how to interpret Leis Mitzvah. And it's hard to understand why each one rejected the other one, especially in the light of the fact that each one adduces a proof from the Pasuk that Leis Mitzvah refers to whatever it refers to. Maybe what the Gemara means is this is not a machlokas, it's elu v'elu, meaning all these different options are valid. No one's rejecting another option, you know, the other one's option. It's not mutually exclusive. And we find the Lashon Mitzia relevant to all these different bakoshos. So then maybe Leis Mitzvah includes the whole gamut of all these different bakoshos. Now, here, there is an insight of the Smichas Chachamim, who says that they argued about the word le'es, not the word mitzvah. Ma'u adover shenitzrach dafka le'es. Le'es means that at a certain moment in time, that there's a tremendous need. Reb Chanina says that by the age of 20, a person should be married, as the Gemara tells us in Kiddushin. So therefore, the chassid should make sure to pray that by the age of 20 you'll find this good woman. Rabbi Nosson says, well, the pasuk is talking about a chassid, and it's possible, again, we're not advocating this, but Ben Azai, the Gemara says, Chashka Nafshi Betorah, he was a chassid and he never got married. And therefore, let's find something that's relevant to every single chassid without any exception, and that's going to be Torah. That a person has to find a moment for Torah on a daily basis. He should be koveya itim la Torah, and that's called li'es mitzvah. And once he's committed to those itim, he should not be mevatel that Torah for any reason. And when he gets up to Bezen Shalmala, the Gemara tells in Shabbos, the first question they can ask him is koveya itim la Torah. And he will be able to respond with a great deal of confidence, yes, I was koveya itim la Torah. Because I was mispal for that, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded to my tefillos and hearkened to my prayers. Rav Nachman disagrees. He says that a chassid is really someone who doesn't have to be koveya itim l'Torah. He's v'gisa bo yom v'layla, 24/7 he's learning. But rather misa. Misa should be in its right time. And therefore the ace element, that time period, that pinpoint the moment in time for misa. And his whole life should be full to capacity, in which it's a complete, wholesome life. He's able to serve his bore, because after death, you cannot serve the bore. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with him because the chassid not only completes his life as it was meant to be, but they even add years to his life. And that's the sugya in Masechta Yevamos on Daf Nun. Therefore, Rabbi Yochanan interprets it referring to kvura, that there's a moment in which a person needs kvura. Now, there's a discussion here about what's called klipos. Klipos are something metaphysical, mystical. Nidbakim chalil begufkon and kvura, right before burial, the klipos somehow catch on to his guf. And that's not a good thing. So he wants to make sure Hashem should answer his prayers, that he should have a pure kind of death without these klipos. Marzucha is not happy with that. Marzucha thinks that if a person is not buried properly, chas v'shalom, then he'll be zocha, and this is the paradox to kapara. There's a possibility that there's a sin he doesn't know about. And what will be the punishment for that sin? The Gemara explains that Sanhedrin would be if lo nikbar kilchasa. And therefore, Bar Zutra interprets that this pasuk of Leis Mitzvah is a reference to Beis Hakisei. You need the Beis Hakisei during certain moments of time, specific moments of time, before you eat, before you daven, so that a chassid should be mispalel, that whenever he'll need at those select moments, a Beis Hakisei will be accessible to him. He can be mekabel ol malchus shemayim bishleimus. The Gemara says later on in Daf Yudalim in Beis and Brachos, and we've mentioned this Gemara in the past, harotza shekabel of ol malchus shemayim shleima, yefane, v'yitol yodov, yaniach tefillin, tefillin v'yikra kriyat shema v'yispalel. Other achronim have a different spin on this sugya to some extent, and they're looking for a tefillah of a chassid who's misnaig lefnimishus adin. Chassidus means to go even beyond the requirement of the law. And each one looks for a pasuk that pinpoints something that has mechilas avon. For example, if a person marries a woman, the Gemara tells us in Yevamos Avonosov Nimchalim, the chassid is the one who desires a clean slate. He doesn't want to be bogged down and blemished and contaminated by blots of sins. He needs mechila to wipe off his sins. So he prays for a good woman. And there are many other examples which are given by the Achronim in terms of each one of these tefillos, that it is a matter of nesias avon, of wiping off one's sins. However, at the end of the day, the Gemara seems to prefer Marzuch's approach. The bottom line is, he needs a Beis HaKisei. There's so much in Chazal about the need for a Beis HaKisei, Hatzarch L'Nekovav. If he davens when he has to go to the bathroom, Tfilas HaToeva. If he's Mash HaNekovav, if he postpones going to the bathroom, he violates Al Tishaktsus Nafshol Seichem. That's a Sugyan Makos. And the Gemara above Mitzias says, Baruch HaTov Ha'ir, which is a pasuk at the end of the Chumash, is Shei Beis HaKisei Samach L'Shulchancha, that before he has to sit down, before he sits down and eat, he has to go to the bathroom, and the bathroom is right there in close proximity. Later, Achronim write that the reason why Marzuch's approach is preferable is because if you look at the end of this very same pasuk, it says Rak l'shatef mayim rabim elav lo yagiu. It means that if he Chasham doesn't have a bathroom and he has to hold himself back, then eventually it could be that he'll have a shetef mayim rab, which means that his urine will be poor. Prayer is that he be protected from that terrible situation where he can't hold it in anymore. And again, as we mentioned before, in Bavel in particular, it was very difficult to dig these ditches that they needed as bathhouses, and therefore there was a special tefillah that they shouldn't have to go too far away from their homes in order to use the bathroom because of the Shetef Mayim Rabim. In any event, what the Mefarshim point out is that there's a certain adifus, a certain preference to Marzuch's interpretation that fits into the pasuk. But I think in general we could say that since the biological needs of using a bathroom are so significant, are so central for human life, that's why they prefer this approach. Now the next piece of Agadita we've touched on in the past. We gave a whole Iyun Shir about Kedushas, Beis HaMedrash, Beis HaKnesses. What we want to do is just simply go through the sugya and highlight a few points. Amale, Rava l'Rafram bar Papa. Rava turns to Rafram and he says, Lemalon mar, mehani mili mal yosa, di amrit mishmei de Rav Chizda, b'mili de Beit Knishta. What can you tell us in the name of your Rebbe, some divrei Torah that you heard from Rav Chizda regarding a Beis HaKnesses, that we can appreciate the synagogue? And the answer that he gave was, Amar Le Rafram says back to Rava, Hachi Amar Rav Chizda, this is what I heard from Rav Chizda, Darshaning the Pasuk in Tehillim Pei Zayin, Mai Dechsiv Oev Hashem, Shari Tzion Mikol Mishkenos Yaakov. It doesn't mean that Hashem appreciates the Sha'arim of the Bate Knesios more than he appreciates the Sha'arim of the dwelling houses of individual Jews. That would not be a Chiddush. But rather, Oiv Hashem Shi'arim HaMitzuyonim Ba'alocha, those are places, as Rabbi Yonah defines them, that are dedicated to the study of Torah and to the giving down, transmitting the verdicts of Halach, the final Horas HaDin. And these were places, Shar Mitzion of Aloch, that were exclusively dedicated. Yom of Alayla. It wasn't like other places, like a Beit Knesset, Beis Medrash, where people came in, they may have heard a shir or a drasha, they may sit down and learn for a few minutes. That's not shiur mitzionim ba'alocha. And therefore Hashem loves the shiur mitzionim ba'alocha, where they're able to pasken halachas because of their total dedication, exclusively yom v'layla in those places, in those shiurim. Yosef mibatei knesios u'mibatei midrashos. Which means that this pasuk, according to Rav Chizkiya's interpretation, is really meant as a metaphor. The Shari Tzion and Mishkanos Yaakov are phrases, are terms that have to be taken, shall we say, a little bit out of their simple reading, because otherwise in the pshat here there's no chiddush, but rather to as references to Shiur Mitzion of Halacha and Batei Knesios, Batei Midrashos. We could also add the following, that Shiur Mitzionim Ba'alocha is a reference to the Beis HaMikdash, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves the Beis HaMikdash more than all the Mishkanos. The Mishkanos are places where the Beis HaMikdash was located on a temporary basis. We have many Mishkanos, the first of which was in the Midbar. There was Nov, there was Givon, there was Shiloh. These were all temporary Mishkanos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves the Beis HaMikdash. That's the Mokom Asher Yivchar Hashem. That's the chosen place. And Rav Chisda now reinterprets the pasuk on a level of drush, that's leaving the pshat as pshat, and that we have to understand that the Beis HaMikdash has something unique and something special. It's beloved. It's the Mokom Asher Yivchar Hashem. But applying that to a situation, a location of Shiur Mitzion Ba'alocha, that in a sense is a quasi Beis HaMikdash, it is also a Mokom Asher Yivchar Hashem. And it supersedes in its greatness Batei Knesios and Batei Midrashos, which are only used for Torah study on a temporary basis. Shiur Mitzion Ba'alocha are exclusively, as we said before, dedicated to the study of Torah and to paskining hora l'maisa v'hainu di amra di omar Rab Chiya bar Ami mishmei du ula miyom shechar beis hamikdash ein lo la kodesh baruch hu bolamo ela arba amo shal halacha bilvad. It means that what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu have today as the Beis HaMechira, as the chosen place of Mokom Asher Yivchar, to replace Kaviyachol, the Beis HaMikdash of old that was destroyed? He has the Arba Amos Shel Halacha, which means a place that's dedicated to the study of Torah B'Kvius on an ongoing basis exclusively. That is more beloved in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu than all the Batei Knesios and all the Batei Midrashos, because this place, which is Dalet Amos Shel Halacha, L'Shiur Mitzion Ba'alocha, is the Mokom Asher Yivchar. That's where the Shechina resides on a permanent basis, not just temporarily, because when people gather together to study the Torah, the Shechina is there, as we see in the Mishnayos in Avos. V'yomer Abaye, Abaye says, Mireish Havi Garisna, Bego Beisa. I used to have the tradition, the custom of studying at home. You know, he had his Beis HaMedrash, his private, you know, rabbinical study at home. Umatzlena, and for davening, Bebei Knisht, I would go to the Beit HaKnesset. But, Kevan de Shamano, Loha di Omar, Rab Chiya bar Ami, Mishmei Du'ula, when I found out how great the Shiur Mitzion Ba'alocha are, and they are the replacement, as we said before, for the Beis HaMikdash, that miyom shechar beis hamikdash ein lo hakadosh baruch hu bolom ela arba amos shel halacha bilvad lo havi mitzalena ela hecha degaresna. I would daven only in the place where I studied, because that place that I study is shiur mitzion ba'alocha. It's the replacement of the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash itself had two dimensions to it. It was on the one hand a makom avoda, a makom tefila, but on the other hand, hora came from the lishkas hagazis for kamto v'lisa al makom lamich al makom goreim. The Sanhedrin was located, the seat of Jewish legislature, and hora was located in the Beis HaMikdash. And the replacement for the Beis HaMikdash is the Beis HaMedrash, the place where we learn. That's where we can reach the ultimate avoda. We can integrate the avoda and the learning and the avoda, the tefillah, and the study of Torah together as one entity. That's where we should be davening. That's where we should be involved in our avoda. The Pnei Yoshua here in this sugya is bothered by the fact that Rava asked from Raphram that he tell him something about the chashivas of the Beis HaKnesses, and paradoxically, Raphram's answer, the name of Chizda, is a big lavish praise for the Shiarim HaMetzion of Halacha that are greater and supersede the significance of the Batei Knesios. That's the paradox here. But the answer probably is that Rav Chisda, when he saw the Pasuk Mikol Mishkanos Yaakov and he interpreted it as referring to Beis HaKnesses, that itself indicates the significance of the Beis HaKnesses, because Mishkanos Yaakov means that the Beis HaKnesses is equated to that to the Mishkan. It's a replacement for the Mishkan, and therefore the Beis HaKnesses, the Kedushas Beis HaMikdash, at least of a Mishkan, if it doesn't have the full-fledged Kedusha of Mikdash, it has the Kedusha of Mishkan. The Kedusha of Mikdash is exclusively left for the Shiara Mitzuyana and Balacha. In any event, from Abai's statement here about his change of minog, we derive the conclusion that it's a mitzvah to be mispal in the place where you learn, because Oiv Hashem Shiara Mitzuyana Balacha Yosef Ibate Knesios. And here we get to a basic machlokes about tefillah b'tzibur. The sheet of Rabbeinu Yonah, in the name of Rabosav HaTzarfatim, is that even if in his own private base medrash where he learns, he will not find 10 people for a minyan. Nevertheless, he's mitzuvah, he should prefer to daven there in his own private learning base medrash at home without a minyan. The Rambam on the other hand, Perek Ches Halacha Gimel Hilchos Tefillah, says that although the milah of tefillah Beis HaMedrash is great, but that's conditioned on the fact that there will be 10 people there for a minyan. Let's go back to the Gemara for a moment. Rabbi Ami, Rav Asi, Afal Gav Davalei Tleisar Bei Knishta B'Tveria. They had 13 different synagogues in the city of Tveria, their local hometown. They would nevertheless daven only Bein Amudim. Bein Amudim means between the pillars, that the attic was weighed down, was laid on these pillars, and that's upstairs on this, in this attic. That's where they dedicated themselves to the study of Torah. Now, according to the Rambam, that in this Beis HaMedrash where he's going to daven, he has 10 people for a minyan, so what's the big chiddush here? And the answer is that in the Beis HaKnesses, the proper synagogue, there's a tzibur gadol, there's a massive amount of people, that's called Berov HaMadras Melech, whereas in his private local Beis HaMedrash where he learns, he's only going to find 10 people, just about a minyan, and that's about it. Says the Rambam, the chiddush is that he should give up and forfeit the kiyum of Barov HaMadras Melech for the sake of davening in the place that he's learning, again, conditional on the fact that he has a tzibur, and he can fulfill the mitzvah of tefillah b'tzibur. The Prima Gadim writes, HaTamu Kedesh Lo Yisbatel Milimudo V'Alichosel Beis HaKnesses. The Prima Gadim's approach is much more technical and mechanical than the one that we presented before, that he should upgrade his avoda by integrating it, both tefillah as avoda and Torah and Talmud as avoda, and that is the place which is Amakom Hashayivcha Hashem. That's where you want to do your avoda. No, the Prima Gadim says, just save you the loss of time. Time is precious, a precious commodity that's irreplaceable. Instead of having to schlep to a Beis HaKnesses, sometimes it was outside of the city, you should just dive into the place that you learn. And he writes, Dafka b'misha lomeid sham, a person who learns in that place, then he can forfeit Barovam Hadras Melech for the sake of davening in the place that he learns and minimizing the downtime of traveling and relocating to the Beis HaKnesses. If someone is not learning there in that place, so what does he save himself by davening there? He might as well daven Barov Am in the Beis HaKnesses. The Mishnah Berurah writes in his comment on Orach Chaim Siman Tzadi Sifkat Nun Hei that in a Beis HaMidrash where a Yochid learns Bekvius, in such a case, he should rather daven Barov Am, again, unless he's cutting down his time, as the Prima Gadim said, travel time. But if it's a Beis Medrash Kavul, a Rabbim L'Limud Torah, then even if he doesn't usually learn there in that place, nevertheless it has an inherent Kedusha that's greater than that of a Beis HaKnesses, and that's the place he should daven, even if he only has 10 people and no more, rather go to the Rov Amadrus Melech in the great Beis HaKnesses, because since it's a place, as we said before, that's Kavul L'Rabbim L'Limud Torah, on a regular basis, it has a Kedusha Chamura, an elevated Kedusha that exceeds that of a Beis HaKnesses. The Af Mishe no Lome Beis Medrash Zeh Adiflo Lispalel Sham. That becomes Oiv Hashem Shiur Mitzion of Aloch in the perfect sense. That's where he should daven. He's got a minion, even though he doesn't normally learn there. It doesn't matter. It's not dependent on his learning. It has an inherent Kedusha, that would be more reflective of the approach that we took, that the issue here is not just, as the Prima Gadim says, in cutting down downtime, but finding the Kedusha, the highest level of Kedusha, that's where you want to serve Hashem. The Gemara Megillah tells us that Abaye b'tchila yelomed b'beiso mispal beis haKnesses, like it says here, but kevan sheshom as divrei David amel, shom Hashem ahavti mon beisecha, sounds like the reverse of what we have here in our sugya of Abaye. In the sugya of Megillah Abaye on Daf Chav Tes, it seems that as a result of what he heard from the, what he understood from the pasuk in Tehillim, Hashem Ahavti Mon Beisecha, he would learn in the Beis HaKnesses. He changed his place of learning, not like we have it here, that he changed his place of davening. Now, if we want to try to reconcile the two sugyas, we're going to have to see the Turi Evan, and I just think that the one point that we want to take from this in the Turi Evan is that there's a machlokas in Megillah as to which Kiddush is greater, that of Beis HaKnesses or that of a Beis HaMedrash. We've had long discussions about this in our Ian Shirim in the past. And the sugya here reflects the fact that Beis HaMedrash has a greater Kedusha, exceeding the Kedusha of a Beis HaKnesses. The sugya in Megillah reflects the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan, that the Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses supersedes and exceeds that of a Kedusha's Beis HaMedrash. And at the end of the day, that those two sugyas will determine where you should daven or where you should learn. The next sugya that we want to talk about is the sugya of Chiya Bar Ami about Gadol Anenami Giyoso Yosef Meiri Shamayim. So B'lin Eder will pick that up next time. But before we end the shiur, I just want to mention the Bach. The Bach asks the question, here the Gemara records that Rav Ami and Rav Asi, even though there were 13 synagogues in Tveria, they would make sure to daven in the place that they learned in their homes, in their private, private Beis Medrash, and according to the Rambam, that would have to be conditional on the fact that they had a minyan in their private, they were able to gather together a minyan in their private Beis Medrash. And the question is, if that be the case, then what's the chiddush? What's the big deal that they daven in the place where they learn? And we've discussed in the past the fact that they forego and forfeit the kiyum of Rav Am in the larger synagogues. But the Bach has a little bit of a change, it's sort of a curveball. He quotes the Gemara from Yochanan that we had that back on Daf Vav, that Ein Tfilaso Shalom Nishmas Elo BeBeis HaKnesses, that the Beis HaKnesses is the place where the Shekhinah resides, that's where Tfilah, God hearkens that Tfilah. But nevertheless, despite the greatness of the Beis HaKnesses, says the Bachlo, Bitlu mi limudam kedei lispal Beis HaKnesses. They did not want to cut down their learning time for the sake of the Beis HaKnesses. And the Gemara adds that they were mispalel bein hamudim of the place that they learned. What does that mean? If you look in the Madani Yontif, he writes, Lo akshay mispal beis hamedrash velo beis hakneses afilu beis hamedrash atzmai makpidim lispal b'makom yuchalem sheshami yoshev velomdim. That even within their beis medrash, they would look to pinpoint the place where they themselves were learning. That was called bein hamudim. And if that be the case, then it would seem that this concept that comes out of our Gemara, out of our sugya, that one should daven in the place that he learns, literally the place that he learns. Mamish, that pinpoint, that location, that Dalet Amos. And the reason for that is that that will integrate his Avodas Hatfila with his Avodas Talmud Torah, his learning, and through that integration achieve the highest level of Avoda. And that's where he should be davening, learning, all together in that one specific location. Put the X on the map. That's where the Dalet Amos, that's going to be his Shiur Mitzion Malacha. The Ritva, on the other hand, explains that the Beni Amudi here means that Bibatim, Shahayu Berachva, Yeshlem Amudim, and Lamdu Sham Kedeshu Mitzuyim L'Rabim Ladunos. So Bein Amudim indicates that that's where people could find them. They were accessible, they sat there, they learned there, they dedicated themselves to the study of Torah, and that's where people would gravitate to ask them questions so that they could be Mora Hora B'Yisrael. Alright, we'll stop here. We didn't get a chance to look at the Ein Raya. Please remind me, the Ein Raya, I'm sorry, please remind me that we do that in our next discussion.